Thank you.
This is going to be Susana Martinez's last State of the State address.
Senator President Pro Tem. Senate President Pro Tem, House Speaker, Democratic and Republican leaders, esteemed members of the New Mexico Legislature, honorable members of the Judiciary, former New Mexico governors, tribal governors, distinguished guests, the state's first gentleman, my husband, Chuck Franco, my beautiful sister, Letty. My stepson, Carlo, his wife, Tara. And, of course, State's precious first granddaughter, Catalina Ray. My fellow New Mexicans, I am honored to join you for the State of the State address and to open this legislative session. I was actually going to forego this speech this year and let you guys get right to work. But since you all sued me and demanded that I explain myself more, sit back and relax, because I got things to say. But in all seriousness, I am glad to be here with you today. Last year, we met together under very different and difficult circumstances. The steepest crash in global oil and gas prices in state history devastated our state. Across the last two fiscal years, we faced a $600 million shortfall and the prospect of emptying the state's entire savings account. The situation, it was bleak. Of course, facing economic and fiscal adversity is not new to us. When I took office, New Mexico faced a massive budget deficit. Years of irresponsible spending during prosperous times made managing through the hard times that much harder. Then, as responsible budgeting gave way to political dysfunction in Washington, the federal government enacted across-the-board spending cuts, slashed defense spending in particular, and thousands of federal government jobs were lost. And private local companies that worked with the federal government were forced to scale back or to close. But they even shut down the federal government. That was something that hit us extremely hard in New Mexico. Then the bottom fell out of the energy markets. We lost 10,000 oil and gas jobs, and state tax revenues plummeted. A steady drumbeat of economic adversity, much of it out of our control, but all of it, our responsibility to handle. Adversity can breed apathy or spur growth, reform, and innovation. In New Mexico, in the midst of these headwinds, we chose the right path. We didn't lean on the flimsy crutch of federal government. We set a course, a new course, and chose diversity of our economy instead. And despite the insistence of some, we didn't take short-sighted paths. We didn't take the easy way out. What we did is we took the economy and decided to diversify it and grow our future. As a result, we find ourselves in a much different position today than we were just 1 year ago. Just a few weeks ago, we were projecting a $200 million budget surplus. Now it has already grown to over $330 million. Maybe we should give a big chunk of that back to the taxpayers. New Mexico is ranked seventh nationally in economic growth. Wages are up. Per capita income is up. And as people look for work again and find jobs, our unemployment rate is declining. It was not a luxury afforded to me upon entering office, so I am particularly proud to say that whoever succeeds me will inherit a strong savings account with at least 10% of our state's revenue in reserves. First of its kind rainy day fund to guard against future downturns in the economy, and strong economic growth that is broader and more diversified than it's been in decades. As we emerge from the fiscal and economic adversity we have faced, I am proud to say that the state of our state is strong and getting stronger. Our people are resilient, kind, and courageous. As governor, I've seen their goodness and toughness each day. And though we are making important progress, much more needs to be done to make New Mexico the best place to be a kid and to raise a family. This session, we must work together to keep our economy moving, pass a responsible budget, make New Mexico a safe place for families and the worst place in America to be a criminal, and finally adopt the reforms necessary to ensure every child receives the quality education that they deserve. From an economic standpoint, we decided 7 years ago to get off the sidelines and start fighting for a better future. Be a partner, not an impediment, to small businesses. Regulate when we needed to, not simply because we had the power to. And we set in motion a competitive pro-growth plan that we are committed to seeing through. The plan has six key areas. Number one, reform the tax code and reduce the cost of doing business in our state, and making sure that it is easier to create jobs. In the past 7 years, we've cut taxes 37 different times, rolled back job-killing regulations, and we reduced the business tax by 26%. And these have all been bipartisan successes. But we're not done. The big one is out there. We've studied it. We've debated it. Let's finally tackle comprehensive tax reform this session. Number two, better compete with other states. Create and enhance the tools we need to attract new jobs and encourage local businesses to expand. Our new closing fund has already helped create thousands of jobs in rural and urban areas alike, attracted world-class companies like Safeflight, Kenner Plastic, and Canon. And every day, for businesses that want to grow, we're helping them hire and train new workers, creating thousands of jobs. This has been another bipartisan success. And now, let's make the Job Training Incentive Program a permanent part of the state budget. And number three, support small businesses as they grow and invest in new startups so that New Mexico technology becomes New Mexico careers. We built a strong in-state preference so that New Mexico companies can better compete for state contracts. And last year, we launched a $40 million Catalyst Fund to help make our state high-tech, to be a high-tech leader. We've helped cutting-edge companies establish and grow, like RiskSense, Sigma, Trilumina, Harmonica, and Biotech. Number four, target other sectors of our economy, like our tourism industry, where we have a competitive advantage over other states. We've long been the most beautiful state in the country. our history, our culture, and the diversity of our landscapes. And people are simply, are unmatched. But in New Mexico, true, we now have the most successful state marketing brand in America. And communities across New Mexico are feeling the positive impact of record-shattering visitations 5 years in a row. So let's double down on what's working and agree together to expand and reach the absolute maximum of travel that comes to New Mexico so that they can realize the New Mexico true that we know and recognize every day. In healthcare, we have an urgent need to ensure that nurses certified in other states can continue to work in New Mexico. We've dramatically expanded our healthcare workforce and made New Mexico a great state to be a nurse. If a nurse from another state wants to come here, that's good for New Mexico. Many already have, but all those jobs could disappear if we don't cut the red tape and pass the Interstate Nursing Compact Bill immediately. Number five, change how we spend infrastructure dollars. Invest more in large-scale projects that create jobs in the short run and lay a long foundation for economic growth. We've had success with this, the Paseo del Norte extension, big water projects throughout the state, and we've made solid strides in reforming how we spend those dollars when they're appropriated. In 2010, less than 10% of road projects were finished on time or on budget. That's changed. Last year, each and every state highway project was delivered on time and on budget. Now I ask the legislature to join in this effort. No more doling out state capital funds on pork projects. Instead, let's spend those funds on rebuilding the foundation of our economy. And number six, work to build infrastructure along the border. Relax, Mr. Speaker. I'm not talking about a wall. I'm talking about working with our partners in Mexico to build a 21st century manufacturing and logistics and transportation hub along our southern border. We're building a first-of-its-kind binational campus, becoming a key corridor for trade. FedEx just opened a distribution headquarters in the region. MT business parks are now full, and exports have increased by almost $1 billion since 2012. This six-part plan is an aggressive strategy to grow and diversify our economy, and it's working. We're seeing broad-based job growth, and since 2011, we've added over 50,000 New Mexico jobs. Even during the oil and gas crash, when we were losing thousands of energy jobs, our private sector was still creating more jobs than we lost. And unlike past recoveries, our growth now is not dependent solely on oil and gas. In past recoveries, oil and gas had accounted for up to 80% of our economic growth. Now, at a time when oil and gas production is at a record level, it has accounted for 40% of our economic growth. That is because we are seeing growth across the board. And in a major victory for our state, we're thrilled to welcome social media giant Facebook to New Mexico. You know, I remember traveling to Facebook headquarters in August of 2015. At the time, we weren't even on their radar. But I was able to sit down with them and show them all we had accomplished, all the reforms we had passed, and they saw New Mexico really is open for business. We competed hard, and we won. And even after they selected us for their data center project, our work didn't stop. We showed them what New Mexico hospitality looks like. They fell in love with our people and our state, and we earned another expansion of their facility to more than triple its original size. Facebook is investing more than $1 billion in New Mexico, the equivalent of 10 years' worth of private construction in Albuquerque. Facebook will have 1,000 construction workers on site every day from now until 2023. Los Lunas gross receipts tax collections are already up 72%. And the massive facility will be powered by New Mexico renewable energy. A major reason this has happened is because we had the courage in 2013 to act, to work together across party lines on historic tax reform, to make New Mexico more business friendly. What an exciting project for New Mexico workers, and what an incredible achievement for our state. Make no mistake, we're proud of our national labs and our military bases and our energy sector. They make extraordinary contributions to our economy, as well as our nation's security and energy independence. But we must realize that economic diversification is our state's path out of poverty. And though it won't happen overnight, there is no question that our trajectory has changed, and we are building a broader private sector than ever before. To realize our full potential, our motto can no longer be, "In Washington, we trust." And to see sustained growth, to build on our momentum, to earn the confidence of job creators, we need to continue to reform our tax code, put the tools we need to compete, and reject job-killing tax increases at every turn, like we did last year and the year before that. And the year before that. Over the long haul, our economy won't succeed, and our children won't have the opportunities we want them to have if we fail to develop a strong workforce. And if New Mexico isn't a safe place to live, our children will not stay here in our state. Education and crime. One creates opportunities, the other stifles them. One helps children realize their dreams. The other can snuff them out. Let's talk about crime first. And let me start by talking about this badge. We're joined today by State Police Officer Dwayne Simpson. Officer Simpson, please stand by me. Those in struggling schools are getting additional attention. Teachers are being recognized for their outstanding achievements and making improvements. Our graduation rate remains at an all-time high of 71%. And because we've raised standards and our students are meeting them, the number of high school graduates needing remediation in college has fallen 16%. Now, are we satisfied? Of course not. Our expectations are higher, but the progress is real, and education is more student-centered than ever before. And a new achievement gap is developing, not between rich kids and poor kids, or white students and students of color. We're actually beginning to close those gaps, but it's a new kind of achievement gap. It's a new achievement gap between students who are in school districts that are embracing reform and those who are not. In Farmington, for example, our teacher and principal mentoring programs have turned things around. Reading proficiency is up 12 points. 12 points in 2 years, and they now have zero F schools. In Gadsden, where reform was embraced from the start, nearly 60% of their schools are A and B schools. They have no F schools. And over several years, students have seen large gains in both reading and in math. The majority of the kids who are making these great accomplishments in Gadsden School, English is their second language. They all receive free or reduced lunch. They now know they can compete with any kid anywhere in America. Unfortunately, where reform has been resisted, student achievement has either flatlined or continued to fall. The number of F schools, for example, has tripled in Albuquerque to nearly one in three schools. And the Albuquerque Public Schools graduation rate is nearly 9 percentage points lower than the state's average. This session, we need to fund reforms that are getting results. That means expanding our teacher and principal mentoring program, anti-truancy efforts, and early reading interventions. We have increased starting teacher salaries almost 15% since 2012. And now we should give all teachers a 2% raise. And for those who earn an exemplary rating, we should step up and give them a $5,000 bonus. We need to allow chemists and biologists, engineers and others to be trained and certified to enter our high schools to teach math and science to help address our teacher shortage in STEM subjects. Let's update our schools with 21st century technology, extend broadband coverage, and it's time we set aside money to make our schools as secure as parents expect them to be. I'm asking the legislature to set aside at least $25 million over the next several years for security improvement at schools across our state. And we need to place a firm cap on the portion of a school district's budget that can be used to pay administrative expenses. Because our education dollars actually belong in the classroom. And realize that if you are being lobbied against this, every dollar being spent to pay that school lobbyist is a dollar not being spent buying new textbooks or computers for our kids. And that is just wrong. Everywhere I go, parents are shocked to learn that 21,000 New Mexico students between first and third grade were passed on to the next grade last year without being able to read on grade level. Many of these students will sadly face frustration and discouragement year after year. But even more concerning is that in most districts, parents aren't even informed of their child's low reading proficiency. not even presented with the option of having their son or daughter repeat the grade in order to catch up. The Reading Success Act will change this, creating a framework for parents and teachers to work together on interventions for children who have fallen behind on reading and early grades. These students need us to be more proactive. Their parents need more information, and we need to give them new ways and perhaps more time in the summer or during the next school year to fully learn how to read. In addition, it's critical that we continue giving parents options when their child is trapped in a failing school. By now, it's easy to spot the schools that choose to improve. In the face of low performance, they do things differently, and their students respond. We celebrate their courage to take on the challenge. But for schools that receive F grades year after year, there are no more excuses. The stakes are too high, and students are now able to go elsewhere to learn. We now have a system in place that didn't exist before. We can identify chronically failing schools, force corrective action, and finally say, enough. It's not okay to keep sending children to schools where they are not learning. We all know how important parental involvement is when it comes to education. The way to get more parents involved is to empower them. And that's what we've done. Aja Holt from Los Lunas. She's a parent who called the public education department looking for help. Aja, please stand. Her son was failing in a school and was not learning. We helped her through the process of moving her son to a higher performing school, which happened on October 2nd. And Aja says she saw an immediate change in her son's attitude and an improvement in his academic achievement. She believes the trajectory of his life has changed. That's how important these decisions are every day. Aja, thank you so much for being the mom you are and embracing the education of your child and making the changes that he needed. God bless you. Education empowers our kids, and a lack of education can be limiting to their future. Aja, you have done an amazing job of taking ownership of your son's education, and I thank you for sharing your story. If we want to really make New Mexico the best place to be a kid, we have to change our mindset. No single government program or agency or nonprofit can dramatically improve child well-being alone. What it takes is a realization that all of us pulling together can do little things that make a big difference. We launched the Pull Together initiative almost 2 years ago to capitalize on the amazing hearts and compassion of our people. Across our state, we have incredible people, generous and caring, who are doing heroic work to improve child well-being and help families overcome poverty. A police officer adopting the child of a heroin addict. A seemingly smaller things like the Boy Scouts helping to build outdoor play areas for kids in need. Through CYFD, we've enrolled 5,000 more kids in child care programs. We've added over 100 additional caseworkers to investigate child abuse and intervene with high-risk families. And we're providing our students breakfast during the school day and over 2.6 million meals to mostly low-income children during the summer. We have 100,000 users on pulltogether.org. P- people who are being connected to resources or reaching out to help others. And as intended, we're seeing greater demand for important services. That's why my budget calls for a $25 million increase in child care services and an additional $8 million to expand pre-K programs throughout New Mexico. On my watch, we've already tripled the number of children who receive a pre-K education. And this new funding will allow us to serve nearly 2,000 more kids. Pull Together embraces and relies on our greatest strength, our people, because we have the power in each of us to improve the lives of our neighbors in need. And we need to continue to do that. Friends, it is the honor of a lifetime to serve as governor of New Mexico, to have been elected twice by the hardworking, generous, and resilient people of our state. We have overcome much together, experienced adversity, made the difficult decisions, and done the hard work of getting our state on a new course toward a brighter future. As governor, you never truly know what each day will bring, but at the very least, I always knew that I'd spend each day with extraordinary people. Crisscrossing our state, I've had the opportunity to share high fives and celebrations during times of triumph and success. And I've shared hugs and tears during times of tragedy, heartbreak, and loss. For me, the hardest moments are the ones that leave a firm imprint in your memory. And yet, I've seen an unusual harmony in tragedy. Hard times produce heroes. We see courage and strength that is compelling and inspiring. It has a way of lifting us and giving us resolve. I remember holding the hand of a woman near Ruidoso in front of the ashes of her home that had been destroyed in a wildfire. Then, in the next moment, I saw weary heroes emerge from the woods, firefighters without an ounce of strength left, who had saved countless other homes. I remember crying with mothers whose children had been murdered, watched over time as they mustered the strength to turn their loss into advocacy and into support for others who had lost loved ones in violence. And just last month, on a quiet morning, gunshots rang out at Aztec High School. Two beautiful children, Casey Marcus and Francisco Paco Fernandez, they were shot by an evil coward who was determined to kill many, many others. I can think nothing more tragic. And having spent time with Casey's and Paco's families, I can think of nothing more painful than when a child's life is cut short by violence. But as we talked together in the community and mourned together, I could tell you that people found a small sense of comfort and reassurance that in the midst of tragedy rose up ordinary people turned extraordinary heroes. Police responded to the scene in less than 1 minute. As bullets were flying, students led each other in prayer as teachers comforted them. This coward was planning to kill hundreds. But the courageous actions of one good man stopped much of that evil. When Emery Hill arrived at the high school for work, it was like any other morning. But when he heard the first gunshots, he saw the shooter and he had a choice. He could have just saved himself. Instead, Emery chose to risk his life and run through the halls, alerting teachers and students so they could lock down the classrooms as they had trained before. His brave actions left the killer with nowhere to go. Emery, your sacrifice and your courage, the responsibility you freely owned to protect the lives of those young people, is absolutely remarkable. And it is inspiring. There are no words to truly express our gratitude. And thank you never seems to be enough. But they are the only words that we have. And we, New Mexico, the people of New Mexico, say thank you for saving so many children. Gotten to know Emery a little, and he is so humble, and he certainly does not see himself as a hero, but he is New Mexico's hero. You know, brave and courageous people like Emery and Officer Simpson, strong and persistent people like Aja and Charlene, they are the essence of New Mexico. It's what I've seen and love most about being governor. New Mexico's best days are ahead of us because our people are caring and devoted and proud. We overcome challenges and tragedy together. We support one another, and we will stop at nothing to provide our children a future of possibility and of hope. May we always remember the incredible talent and character of the people we serve and the impact that our decisions have on their lives. And may we work together tirelessly to leave behind a diverse and growing economy, a quality education system, and a safe community for every New Mexico child. They are counting on us. May God bless you all. May God bless the great state of New Mexico. Thank you.